Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 329. This is the never-ending edition, or the it's-never-done edition. Haven't really quite figured out exactly what we're going to call it, but it's really whatever it ends up being at this point, because it's kind of late in the evening, it's kind of late in the week to even be doing it, so I'd like to thank everybody for their patience. It has been a long and trying weekend around here. I don't remember much of this past weekend. If you followed us, brief little thing here, if you followed us on the last show we did, Caffeination 328, you know, coincidentally enough, then you would have figured out that I was kind of taking care of a house full of sickies. Well, the sickies got to me, and I kind of lost most of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and a good portion of earlier today, too. I'm, you know, feverish, the whole nine yards. So the good thing is, with the better advice of some of my fine friends on Twitter and a couple other places, I kind of held off on doing a show in my strange stupor last night to try and do one today. My voice sounds a lot better from what I'm told today. It actually sounds like I'm just a little bit sick as opposed to some kind of strange cross between Don LaFontaine and Batman, but without the talent or the humor associated with it. It's been a crazy week, I gotta tell you, and what I mean when I say it's never done, it's a strange cyclic kind of events here, because, you know, despite the fact that everybody was sick at the beginning, and then I got sick, and now it's all over again, that more people in the house just keep going back down with being sick. So the wife's a little bit under the weather right now, we're trying to nurse her back to health, and thank you everybody for all the well wishes that were sent our way, and you know, we're very appreciative of them. Alright, but that's not what we came to talk to you today about. We came to talk to you about caffeine culture and technology news, two fantastical topics, and we have a ton of little stories to push forward for you. They're going to be covering such topics as pandemics, Jaws, chess, ecology, robots, fitness, Batman, espresso, solar cooking, jerky, and coffee. It's a whole bunch of different fun little things. We're riding the wave of legal uppers and prescribed downers at this point, because I had to take the cough syrup to bring the voice back down to make it Greek coffee with the new grinder upstairs, and I gotta say, it turned out pretty good, but yeah, I'm highly caffeinated at this point, so it's gonna be a good thing. Yeah, we're back to drinking coffee, so it's gonna be a fun show. Hold on, I swear. It's gonna be a little bit quicker, because I gotta get to bed and do a whole bunch of other stuff, but, you know, it's all in the part and parcel of doing a podcast like this. Alright, we did want to mention just a little bit about the sponsor before we got too much further into this. Picture this. You're on the phone with a client or colleague trying to explain something visual. A spreadsheet, a PowerPoint, a 3D model, a graphic interaction of some sort. Concepts that are difficult to relate to people who can't see for what's in front of you. Good news, now they can. Just use GoToMeeting.com to hold an online meeting. It's easy. Set up in a meeting in advance or start one when the need arises. Everyone simply logs on to GoToMeeting.com, and now they see your computer desktop on their computer screens. Now you can show them exactly what you're talking about and eliminate the uncertainty. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's www.GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts for your free 30-day trial. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy and cool, fun things that we're doing around here. It's been kind of interesting lately. Like I've been talking about, don't want to press on that too much. If you'd like to see more about what that's going to end up being, there's going to be updates over at the personal blog at travelersmug.com. But we have a ton of news to get out for you, and I want to do it before the baby monitor kind of rings off in the background. So if you can hear a little kid screaming and then a long period of silence, it means I uploaded something that I probably shouldn't have. All right, we're going to run through the quick hits, the geek corrupt, and the caffeinated bits all in, well, let's just say under usual time. The first thing up here, we have pandemic response guide. Despite common beliefs, we do not have swine flu here in the caffeination lair, nor do we have any other kind of animal flu. We had the regular old I'm sick and I had to go to the doctor to get a little antibiotics kind of thing going. But, you know, long and the short of it, the reality of swine flu is one thing. The pandemic, horrible, nasty version that's put forth by a lot of the news media is a completely different one. Now, I don't want to stoop to making jokes about it, because people have died because of it, and it is a very, very serious thing, especially for those people involved. And I don't want to, you know, brush it off, because, hey, you know what? It is true that the disease has actually jumped across different continents. But the best defense in any kind of situation like this, especially when you're dealing with the news media, is to go right to the source of the facts. So I found a lovely little guide from over at our lovely friends from SANS, the Technology Institute, who have a leadership laboratory that is completely done up with it's a worldwide pandemic watch version 1.9. Basically, every time somebody of an authoritative source of information updates something about this, they're going to post information on this webpage. That's pretty much as good as you can get. I mean, they have, you know, what is a virus, what is influenza, what makes the difference between them, what's the executive summary. It's information directly from the World Health Organization. Swine flu in Mexico, swine flu in the USA, what exactly is swine flu, what led to the spread of it, the bird flu in Egypt. I mean, anything that you could possibly pull in from some strange other source that you need to get information, please head on over there and check this out. That's all I'm going to say about it. I don't think that, you know, we should be joking about it because people have lost their lives, but at the same point in time, I don't think we should be running around screaming with our head like chickens with our heads cut off, all right? All right, moving right along. Next little thing we have up for you, I saw this interesting little toilet seat cover, and I thought, you know what, that'd be really great to try and have in the house, especially if we were trying to potty train Junior. What this is this is a potty, this is a, not potty, yeah, I have to speak like a big boy now. This is a toilet seat cover specifically designed for men to get them to reclose the lid. I've never had this problem. I don't know why some people do, but hey, whatever. It's a two-part contraption. The top lid actually looks like the part of Jaws as he's coming out of the water, and the bottom seat actually looks like a row of teeth. First of all, I don't know anybody in their right mind, especially in any kind of state of inebriation, would ever sit on a row of teeth. Second of all, I don't think you would ever be able to get a toddler anywhere within 5 feet of this thing if you were trying to potty train them. I just think it's pretty hilarious and wanted to pass it along. All right, next up, do you like chess? I do. Do you like Star Wars? I happen to like Star Wars as well. Do you have money? Well, good, because I don't, but you can head on over there and purchase the Star Wars chess set. This might be a little bit old for some of the people out there, but those of you who have $540 that you are just looking to throw away, you can go over there and get your very own, I think it's made by the Franklin Mint and all. It's a lovely Star Wars collectible chess set. You know what? I have a chess set that I got from Chess Club in, I think, 8th grade. They were selling them for $10 or $5 a set. It's the kind that you see on all the little school things. It has, like, the lovely green and white mat with all the pieces. They're nice and big and chunky. And you know what? That thing's indestructible. It's great for camping trips. I don't think I'd need this. I'm just passing it along because I thought it was pretty fun. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is Space Invader Fitness. A lovely gentleman by the name of Matt Cave, by the name of Matt, actually, not Matt Cave, his website's called The Matt Cave. A lovely gentleman by the name of Matt actually found a way to incorporate the use of Space Invaders and exercise into the same thing. He found a way to have the vest that somebody would wear, like they would put a vest on. If they move to the left, the little Space Invader dude would move to the left. They move to the right, same thing would happen. In order to get it to fire, you had to jump up and down. The difficulty of the game would actually correspond to a directly to a Bluetooth heart monitor that was sewn into the vest. Now, the gentleman didn't actually get it completed for his engineering computer course, which is a shame, because he should get credit for it, and he really didn't think that a lot of people would be interested. Apparently, he hasn't done much surfing on the internet, because this is awesome no matter who you think, no matter how the level of completion here. I mean, this is just great. This goes up there as one of the coolest hacks I've seen. So, just unbelievable, and I wanted to pass it along to people out there. Alright, another little thing that I wanted to kind of smack yourself in the collective forehead for, biodegradable sponges. Why are these not the norm? Now, I never really thought about it, because, you know, people are starting to get into the green technology. We're just starting a minor level composting thing here at the caffeination layer, where we're trying to take all the coffee grounds and everything else that we use of easily biodegradable origins, and, trying to have a mini compost pile in the backyard, and it's sort of working right now. I'm still tilling the earth, if you know what I mean, so I'm not really sure how it's going to work in the long cold winter, but hey, you know, every little bit helps, and that's what we're trying to do here. The thing that I never really kind of grasped was why a lot of the sponges that are out there, I know it's the reason is because they're cheap, but now there's something that it's just a burlap rag. You know what? That's perfect. Burlap, it's 100% biodegradable. It's actually hemp, agave, loofah, bamboo, natural ingredients. You know, I don't understand why you need all them. I'm pretty sure just any kind of abrasive cloth would actually work. But I understand that there's some things where you'd need kind of like a more abrasive texture, kind of like a sandpaper like you'd have for a Scotch-Brite or something like that. But I don't really understand why you would need something softer that's not biodegradable. They need to make these things cheaper and make the other things less readily available. That's all I'm going to say. Then the last little thing we have for you here in the quick hit section of the Caffeination Podcast is a homebrew Batmobile ready to fight crime, compensate for your rotten childhood. At least that's what they say over at Engadget. I've seen a lot of other things that are slightly more snarky about this gentleman who decided to build his own Batmobile. Yes, this man's name is Bob Cossey. He actually... from the Batman movie Batman Forever, he actually rebuilt the entire thing in his garage, and it's like to scale, and apparently it's street legal, the whole nine yards, and it even has like a retractable roof. The man's a sculptor of the nth degree. Now everybody's kind of like heaping derision upon this gentleman, and I don't really understand it, because I think at the very core of it, they're like, oh, well, you know, it was the worst Batman movie ever. Well, first of all, I don't think it was the worst Batman movie ever. I think it was an interesting Batman movie, unless you compare it to the other ones. So that's beside the point. This guy did something you can't. You just need to kind of recognize him for the fact that it's awesome, and you couldn't do it. And that's about it, and we're going to move on, because I don't really think you can heap too much a scorn upon this guy. Oh, he has no life. You know what? Every once in a while, somebody feels called upon to do something really cool, and they have just a little idea in their head. And if I have enough chance, I'm actually going to link up to a wonderful TED Talk by one of the gentlemen from Mythbusters, where he actually went about the means that he used to create the Maltese Falcon from the movie. And like he went through sketches. And it was between the Maltese Falcon and a skeleton of a dodo bird. I'm not even lying to you when I tell you this is a study in OCD, ADD, ADHD, an unbelievable genius, all wrapped up in one thing. It blows my mind to watch it every time. So I just wanted to kind of pass that one along to you, and I am going to actually write a note. So I know every once in a while I don't do it, but yeah, the TED Mythbusters thing is unbelievable. All right, the next little thing we're going to dive right on into is the Geekcraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. For those of you not in the know, all right, apparently I'm going to have to stop after each section to actually kind of rehydrate, because I talk so quickly that I'm kind of drying out all the vocal cords I was hoping to keep nicely lubed. Not really working out too well. All right, so we're going to try this one more time. When we're diving right into the Geekcraft section here, the Geekcraft's usually the longer, more storied topics that end up sparking a little bit more topical discussion within the geek world. Some of them might be geek culture, other things might be more technological in nature. So just in case you were happening upon this podcast and you hadn't really understood what everything was, Quick Hits is kind of, everybody understands that. It's things we're going to touch on it and move along. And the same thing with Caffeinated Bits. When we move along to that, there's some things that probably would go in the quick hit section. You know, we're just going to touch on it and move along, but other things deserve a little bit more shrift. So, all right, we're diving right in. First thing up here, ecological photovoltaic speakers. They sound like a whole lot of buzzwords that are pretty awesome, right? Well, these are from over at ecofriend.org. Somebody has actually developed a way to make what they call sustainable speakers. Now, these things have tiny little photovoltaic panels built into each different side of the speakers, and they all unfold, and they spread out into all kinds of different little things, and it's all a design concept from somebody's interesting little portfolio over there. And I just wanted to kind of put it out there and say, yes, this is really cool, yes, this is kind of interesting, but I wanted to put it in kind of stark contrast to the next story. The next story is from over at YouTube, and it was actually a featured video a couple of days ago. You could do your own ecologically sound, and these aren't photovoltaic, but that's perfectly all right. That's one buzzword we can kind of throw out. But speakers, sure, how about we throw another one in? These are called high def speakers. Yes, these are DIY indeed. Do it yourself. All you need is tin foil, a penny, and a paper plate, and a ripped-off headphone cord. So if you want to head on over there, you can watch the video, but I was astounded at this. Basically, the gentleman who's doing the video actually covered up the convex side of the paper plate with aluminum foil. He taped it off on the back. Then in the very center, he put a very shiny penny. He said that the penny had to be shiny because it needed more conductivity between the wire that you're going to be attaching and the actual the medium. Then you tape that down, and then you took a wire from what would have been headphones, and you take the one headphone cord and you run it back to the middle of the penny, and then you take the other thing that has the little eighth-inch jack on it, the little mini headphone jack, and you plug it into whatever it is. And you know what? It actually works, and it sounds fantastic. That's the funny part about it. So what I need to do is I need to find a pair of old headphones that are kind of ripping apart at the ends and actually kind of do this. And he said you could actually do a 7.1 surround sound on it. I'd like to try that, and we're going to first of all need to find some nice and shiny pennies, and second of all, I'm going to have to, you know, convince the wife that I do need to actually waste a lot of tinfoil. But if this is true, then you could probably recycle the tinfoil that you've already used, wash it off, spread it out, straighten it out again, and then reuse it for this. And who knows, if you used something like tomato sauce on it, maybe that'll improve the conductivity. Just make sure you keep it on the inside, or else it could be a kind of a messy concert there. Alright, moving right along, a Muppet-like robot, to care for your children. This thing's called the Probo. I like the idea behind this. Probo is a term they came up with because the strange green Muppet, almost Shrek, almost Snuffleupagus-like robot has a proboscis, has a large nose. So it looks like it would be of the genus of elephant, you know, the same kind of a cousin of the elephant, let's just say. More along the lines of Snuffy and the fact that it's imaginary. But the idea behind this thing is that it's supposed to be able to interact in domestic tasks with elderly and help with childcare, and communication is what they say is essential here. So this thing is able to articulate all kinds of different expressions. Currently, it's only controlled by a human operator, so they're saying that it's going to evolve far beyond this. And I'm looking at this, and I think this is a really interesting idea, but at the same point in time, anything that looks like an alien, I really don't want to have the word probe attached to anything to it. But the second, when you look at it again, first of all, they have the television in the stomach, which anybody will tell you is kind of a Teletubby kind of thing, and I don't know if the scientists thought of this or not, but people are going to mistake it for that. Even the fact that it does not have some weird antennae off the top of its head, and the actual antennae are the ears, which I think is very cool. Other than that, the thing is incredibly well designed, and it's going to be interesting. It can't move as of yet, but it's going to be fun to see exactly where it can go. Now, they're saying that you're going to be able to have doctors and clowns control Probo, and then have children interact and move and see and hear and feel through the dummy. I can see this being interesting. I can see this being kind of like an avatar for the doctor, where the doctor might be a threatening presence and the child might feel more comfortable talking to an imaginary creature about certain things that an adult might not be able to get a kid to say. But at the same point in time, it kind of enters into a weird thing. It's like, if the doctor wasn't the one that the kid told, can the doctor actually use that? I mean, there's a lot of things that really kind of need to be put out there, especially if they're going to be they're saying it's the intelligent huggable robot. So if it's intelligent, if it actually has an intellect, does it owe itself to some sort of standard of honor? Is it supposed to say, you know what, this was told to me in confidence, I can't tell you? I mean, is that even a logical question to ask? So I just wanted to kind of put it out there. It's kind of an interesting thing, and it's going to be one of the questions that we start to see coming up more and more. I mean, the people who put this thing together are unbelievable, but I think the name needs a little work. I think a couple other things might need. I like the general way that it looks is very non-threatening. But at the same point in time, there's certain aspects of it that need a little bit of spicing up, I guess. They need to find something else other than a TV in the stomach, because it's very much iconic of one brand of children's entertainment, and they're going to get sued. There's no way around it. Alright, moving right along. The next little thing that I've seen, now, I've seen a lot of different ways that we can reuse old Nintendo carts. But, you know, you need to keep today's kids honest, I gotta tell you. You know, today's kids, they got the Wii, they got all other kinds of crazy stuff, they got the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, they have real-life characters on the screen that are doing all kinds of fantastical things through a series of buttons. They don't have to deal with Pole Position. They don't have to deal with Mario Brothers 3, where if you didn't tweak the guy at the right second, you wouldn't be able to bend the laws of gravity to your very whim and actually get around what you're attempting to jump up. I mean, there's so many different things and nuances of 8-bit gaming that are going to be lost on the next generation, so they're not going to understand or respect a lot of the different conventions that are being used in current gaming. And it's a very interesting problem, because it's not like this happened in reading. It's not like all of a sudden somebody was reading for 300 years and said, you know what, the letter A, that's last year. We're not going to use that anymore. The new letter is just going to be B with a little hyphen over it. I mean, yes, that sort of did happen over hundreds of years in time, but it was never a conscious decision. It was sort of like the way that linguistics shifted to a certain point. But it's never been so compacted down to a small set of time to where it's like one generation said, oh, yeah, I remember, you know, Zelda. And the next generation said, oh, yeah, Wind Waker, or where they started referencing completely different things. And Zelda becomes the only thing that they're talking about because Nintendo apparently can't develop any kind of new intellectual property on their own, so they just have to keep going back to everybody else's childhood and hoping people will buy the same games over and over again. Now, I'm not going to harp on that too much longer, but the cool thing about this little thing is called the FC Mobile 2. They're touting this as the ultimate way to play an NES game. You can either use it as a portable and plug the cartridge directly into the top, and it has the D-pad, and it actually has the A and B button, but it also has the four buttons for the Super Nintendo controllers, which is really cool on the one side, or you can plug it into your TV and use the wireless controllers, which is fantastic. So you can actually have, two-player battle like Double Dragon and rock it out like that. Or you could even use the gun for Duck Hunt, which is also pretty cool. So I like this idea. I'd like to see a lot more systems that come out that reuse and bring to life older technology. So, I mean, I'd like to see a TV that had a built-in PlayStation emulator or something like that. You're never going to see it just because of the massive property rights that are involved. But, you'd think when a company stops developing titles for a certain period of time for a certain system that it should kind of be opened up to say, you know what, anybody else that feels like you're reusing the Famicom or reusing the NES, the original, go for it. The architecture is open. Alright, moving right along, the next little thing that we have for you here is, this is the last little thing in GeekCraft, and then we're gonna head on into the caffeinated bits. I told you it's gonna be a slightly shortened episode here today, so we're gonna try and rock it out nice and quick and neat. And, this is kind of neat. The theory of this thing is relatively cool. It's laying on a bed of nails. Now, take all those bed of nails and embed them in old wood, and very naturalized finished things. Now, of course, we're talking about an objet d'art here. It's very pretty. It's very interesting. Now, you're going to take all of these old nails and you're going to bend them at all kinds of crazy different angles. And as you bend them into the wood along the length of this, let's just say it's a 4x, or maybe it'd be like a 3x8. Long board, okay? And there's going to be different undulations that go through. So as if you were looking at, like, a kelp bent over on, like, the sea of some kind of, like, kelp forest or something like that. And if you can imagine that. Or if you imagine, like, a cross-section of coral, because that's actually what it looks like. Now, apparently what the gentleman who's actually designed this did was he bent a whole bunch of nails into a series of natural-looking wood and then used an angle grinder and ground them all perfectly flat, saying that, not a single nail was going to be out of place. So you get this lovely naturalistic beauty, you get the interesting reuse of the nails and reuse of the wood. At the same point in time, I'm looking at it saying, okay, there's one small problem that they're looking at here, that they're actually missing. It's when you actually run your fingers across this, you're going to have a lot of sharp edges that are facing horizontally. So instead of just, having, a sharp pointy thing sticking in your posterior, you're going to have, like, a bunch of razors going along the entire edge, unless they've actually gone around every single nail and rounded it out. And then you're going to have a lot of pinch points that are going to catch other things. I mean, I understand that this is a piece of art. This is not supposed to be practical in any kind of sense of the imagination, but There has to be a different way where this can actually look as cool and be as useful as it possibly could. I just think it's interesting. I just think it fell short. So when you have two nails going close together, all of a sudden somebody with a set of keys or something like that, or a button or something like that, is going to get cut off or pulled in. It's going to be interesting, but it's not nearly as functional as they're trying to make it out to be. All right, going to dive right on into the caffeinated bits here. Hopefully my voice will hold out for the next little couple minutes here. Alright, Espresso does it again. I'd like to thank Dr. Moss, Michael from over at coffeehero.com. He actually said, Espresso has a lot of antioxidants in it, and I actually think that got me through today more than anything else. And the fact that I found out, Espresso does not constrict my throat nearly as much as a cup of coffee, or apparently a cup of Greek coffee does. So, I'm able to actually consume Espresso while I'm sick now. So we're going to give that a shot. Of course, it was Espresso with a little bit of milk in it to kind of try and soothe the throat on the way down, and I've heard positives and negatives about milk in beverages as you're trying to get better, and of course, all the different things it can do with your throat. But I gotta tell you, it helped me out immensely. First of all, it gave me a kick in the pants when I needed it, so thank you very much, Moss. And you can find his latest offerings over at coffeehero.com. He's also the originator and the 10-year veteran of ineedcoffee.com, which recently ceased updating but is always going to be there, so it's awesome in its own right. But you really need to head on over to coffeehero.com to check out his more updated annex. They're always really informative. All right, moving right along. Terrorize your classmates with a screaming straw. That's kind of hard to say three times fast. I don't know why you would ever do this, but I wanted to pass it along because I thought it was pretty funny, and I just know I have at least one friend who's going to buy one of these, so I'm going to pass it along because I think they're pretty funny, but at the same point in time, is every time you drink, is it going to scream, or does it just scream randomly? Because I think that would be pretty funny. It's a black curly straw with a screaming skull face on it, and apparently every time you drink or something along those lines, it screams bloody murder. Which is even better if you're drinking blood red juice. This thing probably should have come around more around during Halloween. It might have gotten a little bit more attention, but hey, you know what. All right, next little thing I've seen from over at randomgoodstuff.com. This is a weird candy of the day. This is called gummy bacon. Now, this is disgusting to me, and it might not just be because I'm getting my appetite back, but I also happen to like crispy bacon. There's just... I'm all in favor of bacon for almost everything, but now I've actually seen two stories so far that have kind of taken bacon too far. The one is the Bacon M16, where a guy actually used cooked bacon and molded it around a piece of wireframe, and the next one's the actual gummy bacon, because there's just no way that this actually looks appetizing to me at all. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is caffeinated marketing gone too far. Jerky. Now, this is not a sellout or a send-off to the Jerky Boys of late 1990s fame. This is more along the lines of an article over at energyfiend.com, a fantastic site. We haven't mentioned it much recently because we've been kind of moving around for different stuff, but always head back over there. They're your source de la, source for absolutely everything. I was trying to work some other kind of weird reference in there, and it just wasn't working. The head's not all in there, folks. Sorry. It's Alien Energy Jerky, caffeine-laced beef goodness. There is no way that I would try this just because it doesn't even sound appetizing. And again, it could just be because I'm trying to get my appetite back. But I'm actually kind of glad that when you look down the list of ingredients, you look down to how the gentleman over there, and specifically Dusty Smith, who actually went the full measure and tried it, he said there was no effect. Now, I'm not sure if the fact that the protein was in there helping metabolize the caffeine kind of leveled off the effect, which could very well be the case. And I don't know if they actually took that into account. But the fun thing about protein is protein actually, reduces the jitters and actually elongates the caffeinated effect, kind of allows your body to metabolize caffeine at a much more even rate as opposed to other things that you might ingest with the caffeine, a la sugar. So, that could be one of the reasons that the rather piddling amount of 110 milligrams of caffeine really didn't do too much, because it was just about a cup of coffee with a stick of beef. I mean, that doesn't really seem like they go side by side, but hey, I mean, just imagine it's like two sticks of morning bacon, and it's nice and crispy, and then you're fine. Then the last little thing we have for you here today is another thing that seems to be all the rage lately. Everybody's going green, so we're talking about another solar cooker thing. This is a hot pot solar cooker. If you have $95, you too can have your very own, very artistically designed round mirror with a clear glasserole. They should actually rename these things glasserole, but it's a glass casserole dish. And inside the glass casserole dish, casserole... And inside the glass casserole dish, there is a black insert to actually collect the heat. I like this idea. I think it's relatively good. The only thing is, I'm looking at it, and $95 is a lot of money to spend. If you already have a glass casserole dish, then you can probably build one yourself. Boy Scouts have done it for years. I guess I'm kind of stunned by the fact that I keep seeing people like, oh yeah, have you tried this method of collecting rainwater for something? I'm like, you know what? That was like the third time I went camping and somebody needed to do something. It was like, there's so many different things from Boy Scouts that are actually just entering into the green revolution now. It's maybe somebody wants to consult their old scout handbook and it might help them along. Who knows, maybe somebody can get some venture capitalism going for the Boy Scouts. Alright, and then the last little thing we have for you here is a huge resource for the interested. If you are looking to build your own solar cooker or buy one, or you're interested in this at all, you can head on over to solarcooking.org. They have teaching links, multimedia links, how to go about the basics in depth, solar water pasteurization related technologies. I mean, it's anything that you can possibly imagine having to do with the sun and your food. I like this. I like having, you know, just end all and be all resources. I like being able to go to one place and just know everything is there. So that about wraps it up here for today's episode of the Caffeination Podcast. My voice cannot take that much more of the banter, so I'm very sorry, but we're going to have to end a little bit short today. Hopefully you enjoyed your fun little trip down the caffeinated lane here. This has been Caffeination number 329. We're lovingly nestled along with all of our other episodic friends, except with better voice control and a little bit more content over at www.caffeination.com. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And all the other member shows have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. We are also a proud Puzzle Piece production. More work on that stuff coming up soon, so stay tuned for information on that. All right, thank you so much for listening, everybody, and dealing with me, and the scratchy voice that's probably in your ear by now. So thank you, and stay caffeinated, people.